Economic development. We will get the presentation from the Chief Commissioner, the Chief Inspector of the Inspectorate of Mine, Health and Safety Council. as you know, we don't always know who we are talking to, and we've got very good, capable journalists in our midst. So we don't want to read tomorrow by an unknown source. We want the journalist to call you on your name. So I'm going to allow you some time to introduce yourself, which province you are, which province you're representing, and then we'll hand over to the department. My name is Freddie Adams. I'm from the province of the Western Cape, chairperson of the committee, and representing the Western Cape in the National Council of Provinces. If we start on my left.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, honourable members, my colleagues. Welcome back, those that have never seen the day. Good afternoon, the department. I'm John Gunda. I'm from the Northern Cape, and I'm staying in Uppington. And I represent the Northern Cape.
Good afternoon, Kenneth McLean, Northern Cape.
Good afternoon, I'm Elsa van Lingen from the Eastern Cape.
Good afternoon, my name is Beth Abrams from Content.
Good afternoon to Mr. Kamete, Guadalupe Natal.
Linda, it's your business day. Good afternoon, my name is Dipal Samukovotas from the DMR.
Good afternoon, my name is David Nsiza. I'm also from the DMR. Thank you.
We've got some other people also. Do you think at some stage or the other we can just get this up and down movement to calm down?
DJ Winterbach from PMG.
Good afternoon, my name is Christopher and I'm from Chile.
Welcome, Mr. Mtilini. Mr. Mtilini has been in a terrible accident, but he has survived, and welcome back to Parliament again. And we're also glad that you recuperated very, very strongly. Now, honourable members, we're going to hand over to the Chief Inspector to take us through our presentation.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Member, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon once again. I'd like to take this opportunity to express our gratitude to talk to you today about our annual report for 2009 and 2010 period. The presentation outline will be as follows. I'll just be talking on giving some background information relating to mining related matters, and also talking on health and safety performance for the reporting period, that is the 2009 and 2010, and also just touching on some performance for 2010 and 2011, and again for this year as well, in terms of statistics. And then I'll also touch on some of the improvement strategies that we have adopted, and that they have been previously indicated by our minister. And lastly, share with you
some of the achievements that within our mining sector. In terms of the background, the first bullet point, there has been some records set by the gold price, by the, some of the commodity prices, especially the gold price. Since yesterday it was about $1,632 per ounce. It has actually went through the 1,600 as indicated there. And some big speculators are also predicting that the platinum price will reach $2,000 per ounce in the near future. Again, the Minister of Treasury, Minister Pravin Gordhan, indicated earlier this year during his budget speech that about $809 billion has been set aside for infrastructure development. And yesterday it was also announced that after the recent cabinet report, that the commission that will look at infrastructure will be headed by our state president and the deputy president. I'm actually mentioning this particular thing because for us as the mining sector, they are positive in that there will be more jobs created because of this particular change. More specifically with the infrastructure, because now most materials come from the mine, like iron mines, manganese mines, brickwork, sandwork, cement works as well. So if there's more spending on infrastructure, then there'll be more activities in that sector and more people employed. The same with the gold and platinum sector. We believe that if, given the challenges as well, if the commodity prices are performing as they are doing that now, there will be more mining taking place, more specifically the Northern Cape, Northwest, Limpopo, and the Mpumalanga. But another challenge that we are facing is that there are some diminishing orders, more specifically with the gold sector. Hence, some of the mines are indicating that they're going deeper, and some mines they are looking at mining the shaft and running pillar. And lastly, on that particular slide, unfortunately, we have a poor level of power management, which results in negative social and economic impact, where my employees sometimes get dismissed because of power conditions, and then some companies probably they're also facing claims. There was one case that was indicated earlier this year of Mr. Mankani, where he was claiming about $2.5 million against the gold Ashanti. And I think he won that particular case. Unfortunately, he passed away before the judgment came in. And I think that case also puts a bit of jittery within the industry because there's been another case involving 18 ex-employees who are claiming against LEO on civil courses that they've acquired in their mind as well. So the industry are very concerned with this particular issue as well. This particular slide shows the total mine labor complement per commodity. For 2009, as you can see from the slide itself, more people are employed in our platinum sector. About 180,000 people are currently employed in our platinum sector, which is about 35% of the total, followed by the gold sector, which is close to about 150,000, which makes up contribute about 31% of the total. The coal sector employs close to about 70,000 people, then followed by the diamond sector, which employs about 2,000. The copper, about 3,000 people employed. Chrome, 11,000. Iron ore, about 14,000. Manganese, about 5,000. And the others, about 52,000. The others include brickwork, sandwork, and quarries, which have not been indicated here. And the total, it comes to a total of 500,000 people. The next slide shows the employment per province. Most of the people are employed in the Northwest province. As indicated on this particular slide, it employs about close to 180,000 as well, with
about 37% employed, followed by the Gauteng in province, about 100,000 people employed, Limpopo about 46,000 people employed, Mpumalanga 71,000, KZN 11,000, Eastern Cape is not 0% contribution but about 0.4%. It really has about 1,800 people employed. Then the Northern Cape about 27,000 and this state about 41,000 people employed there. And the people of the inspectorate has indicated as well in the slide that the department's mandate to safeguard the health and safety of the mine employees and people affected by mining activities. And our objective is to reduce the mining-related deaths, injuries, and in-house through the formulation of national policy and legislation and the provision of advice and the application of systems that monitor, audit, and enforce compliance in the mining sector. In terms of occupational health, this particular slide shows the occupational diseases reported by the mine. In terms of the Mine Health and Safety Act, all the mines are required every year to report occupational diseases that have been reported, that have been detected at their mines every year through what we call the annual medical report, or AMR, as indicated on the slide. And just to explain the abbreviations there, then NIHL is the noise-induced hearing loss cases reported. FIL is the silicosis cases. ASB is the asbestosis cases reported. PTB is the pulmonary TB. SITB, silicone TB. PN is the pneumoconiosis cases. And OTH is the other cases reported. On this slide, which shows that it is for all the mines, there has been some improvement between 2008 and 2009 on the diseases reported. As you can clearly see with the noise induced hearing loss, some slight improvement with the silicosis cases, and also similarly for the pulmonary TB and silicone TB and pneumoconiosis and others. However, although there's been generally some improvement, we can still see that there's still high number of cases that are being reported by the mine, mainly with the TB cases, where it goes to about 4,500 reported in 2009 and almost similarly in 2008. I think it's very important that I must highlight the issue that although we don't have any asbestos mines in South Africa, they stopped operating about 20 years ago, we still have cases of asbestosis that have been reported. And this really shows the latent effect of overexposure to dust or any related health hazards at the mines as well. And the following slide mainly shows for the gold mines. Most of the cases are being reported by the gold mines. You can take this slide and overlay it with the previous one. You can clearly see that there's similarities there. Although there's been improvement, as you can very see there, but there is a lot of cases being reported by the gold sector. And there are some also being reported by the platinum sector. You'll actually see that there's been a significant improvement with the pulmonary TB cases that are reported by the platinum sector in 2009. This was as a result of our request that they have to report TB cases, because the platinum sector felt that they don't have silica, so there's no need for them to report TB cases because they don't regard them as their occupational disease. So we clearly indicated the script of the law, and we also indicated to them that it also assists us to show them what is the current profile within that sector in terms of all the diseases. So if once they report them, it will clearly help them as well to really understand whether they are improving or not improving in terms of the diseases reported. And for the coal sector as well, you can clearly see that most of the cases being reported are the TB cases. And also there has been an increase on the noise-induced hearing loss cases. I think this has been as a result of us as the inspectors identify some of the mines not reporting in terms of the legislation of these particular cases. However, I must indicate that there's been some improvements as well. And the same case with the other mines as well, we can see that there's been improvement, but even the other mines, we can see they report more of the noise-induced hearing loss cases than the TB cases. This slide shows the milestone target for recoverable crystalline silica. In 2003, the industry, ourselves as a state, the business, and the organized labor agreed on what we call the health and safety milestone. That by 2013 we must eliminate silicosis and noise-induced hearing loss. One of the milestones that we set to achieve, or some of the targets that we have set to achieve those milestones in terms of silicosis, it's for all the mines. We have a 95% in achievement for crystalline silica or the quartz that people are being exposed to. So this slide basically shows the performance of the mines per region or per province from Gauteng to the Eastern Cape. As you can clearly see that it appears as if the regions have been at least achieving more than 90%. However, we as a department are greatly concerned with the accuracy of some of the results that have been sent by the mine, and probably to try and match the diseases that have been reported as well, especially the respiratory-related ones. You can clearly see that probably, you know, there are still challenges in terms of the accuracy of the results that are being sent and we'll just, at the later stage, indicate what steps are we taking to make sure that we have accuracy that's being reported to the department. This is also an interesting slide. It shows the cost of death between 2003 and 2009. These figures indicated in gold are figures that we get from the NIOH. This is the National Institute of Occupational Health. In terms of ODIMWA, they have to collect all the cardio respiratory organs and then of people who passed away in the industry, and they analyze what type of diseases were they actually suffering from. And then the one in blue indicates the people killed by mine accidents for that particular period. And these are the unknown figures indicated. I think if you can look at that slide, you can see that from 2003 and 2009, there's been sort of a downward trend on both the respiratory related deaths and the mine accident-related deaths. But I think the essence of this slide, it shows that the number of people killed by respiratory diseases is more than four times those killed by the mine accident. And we tend to see the fatalities as a result of the mine accident because they're normally in your face, they can be reported immediately. But the ones related to health are not well known. So I think for us it says that we also have to have a balanced approach on health and safety issues. So it's very, very important that we do that. In terms of safety, this slide shows the fatality and injury rate per million hours worked for the mining sector from 2003 up to today, which is 2011. I think if you look at only the fatality rate between 2003 and 2010, there has been about 80% drop in the fatality rate. In 2003 it was about 0.65, and in 2010, at the end of 2010, it was 0.13. And in terms of fatalities, there's been about 60% drop. In 2003, there have been 270 people killed in the sector, and last year, about 128 people are killed in the sector. Although there has been, I think, similarly with the injury rate, which is indicated in green, in red, and then the fatalities are indicated in green. We are greatly concerned with the high, with the continued loss of life within the sector, and the high rate of cases of injuries that have been reported by the industry. And the next slide shows the fatalities per province or per region. I've actually color coded them in terms of the respective regional operations. We have gold and platinum, which comprises of Gauteng, Northwest, and Free State. This is where you find most of our gold and platinum mines. And the cold ones, the Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and KZN, that's where you find most of our gold mines. Other is the Cape. That's where you find all the other respective mines. But
although there's been some slight improvement, it's clear that most of our fatalities occur in our bone marrow, as you can clearly see there, and especially in those particular regions because of the high risk that is also involved there, and the issues of culture that we have to deal with, and followed by the cold sector and the other sectors. In terms of the major contributors, most of the fatalities are caused by fall of ground accidents. As being reported by the mine. This particular slide shows the profile since 2003 up to 2010. But what is very, very encouraging as well is that between 2003 and 2010, there has been an 84% drop or reduction in terms of the rock pests or seismic related fatalities between 2003 and 2010, and more between 2009 and 2010, which has been about 60%. And for the same period, there's been a 53% improvement in gravity-related fatalities. Although, once again, there has been a significant improvement in terms of this type of accident, there are still a major contributor to our fatalities in the injuries. We are very concerned because for us, if you look at the profile of this accident, they're the same. The causes of the accidents are really the same. We are very concerned about that. I think similarly with the next slide, we have some improvement with the trackless mining mobile machine. But again, there is a concern that we don't have a sustainable and significant improvement with all as well. And the same with the RBE, what we call the RBE, the rainbound equipment. Rainbound equipment is mainly the locos that are used in the gold and the platinum sector. We also have some improvement in terms of that regard. I think we had about 41% drop for between that period 2003 and 2010. And in terms of injuries, once again, most of the injuries are reported by the gold and the platinum sector. In those particular regions, as indicated, there has been some improvement there. Something has indicated there: 12%, Free State 15%, Mpumalanga 11%, Western Cape 32%, and Eastern Cape 33%. But looking at the number of cases there, that we reported in 2009, about 3,700, you can see that we still have a high case of injuries being reported, mainly by the gold and the platinum sector. Now, coming to last year. Last year it was we recorded the lowest number of fatalities ever of about 128 in total versus 168 the previous year. But again, most of the fatalities, although there's been some 22% improvement, have been reported or okay at the gold and the platinum sector and followed by the other sector. But I must indicate that there has been a positive downward movement on all the sectors last year in terms of fatalities. However, this year we already had a bad start, especially with the first quarter. I'll relate that to it. We had, by the 18th of July this year, we had 69 people killed versus 71 for the same period, and we had a 16% improvement only with the gold sector, and the platinum sector had 18 last year and 19 reported this year. The coal sector 6, 7 reported this year, and the other sector 10 and 12 reported this year. There's been a slight improvement of about 3% in terms of the fatalities. Now, this slide shows the total fatalities for 2009 and 10 and 11 progressive on a monthly basis. The blue trend line shows the 2009 period, and the maroonish color shows the 2010, and the green shows 2011 profile. Now, between January and February this year, we had about 39 people killed in our mining sector. That is the first quarter. And the second quarter, between April and June, we had 21 people killed. Most of the fatalities that I indicated were occurred in the first quarter, and there has been about a 41%
44% drop between the first quarter and the second quarter. For us to really understand why all of a sudden there's been a sudden change, because in 2010 we did extremely well. All of a sudden we had an increase. We tried to understand, but why are we having such a significant increase in fatalities last year? We looked at the fatalities that occurred from 2010 January up to the end of March as well. And we compared them with the production figures that have been reported on a monthly basis to our department by the mine. For us, it appears as if there is a correlation between an increase in production and an increase in fatalities. I mean, this particular slide shows, you can actually see where you have an increase in production, there is a subsequent also an increase in number of people that have been killed. I think this is for the platinum sector. I think the same profile you can actually see with the gold sector. I think for us of great concern as well that probably some of the mines, when they are ramping up their production, they don't take the necessary measures to protect the health and safety of people as well. And we have also some cases where have been reported that people are doing overtime and which result in fatigue and which could result in the increase of fatalities. The injuries for this year, there's been a 21% improvement in the total injuries reported up to the 18th of July. This year there's been 1,400 cases reported versus about 1,800 reported for the previous sector. Well, you can actually see that there has been some improvement with the injuries. However, the fatalities, we have not yet had a significant improvement there. And in terms of some of the performance or achievements that we had for 2009 and 10, and it's also indicated in our annual report, we have achieved the target that we have set ourselves in terms of the meeting that we had with the unions and my management as well. With the unions, we believe that it's very, very important that we have to continuously engage with the organized labor, because they are members who are the coalface, so to speak. And they can come up with some of the concerns that we have so that we can also address. We also engage with the mine management as well, continuously to really to express concern with the current status quo on health and safety. And they must tell us what steps are they taking to improve on the accidents and occupational diseases. And we also met our targets in terms of the meetings that we organized with the Department of Labor, Department of Health, and the Director Public Prosecutor. Mainly with the Department of Labor, we had a memorandum of understanding where they don't have expertise in mining-related matters, we come in, and where we don't have expertise regarding health and safety on Saturday or any other related matters that has to do with health and safety, they come in as well. For instance, with the house train, and that in June 2008 and 2009, there was the construction of the house train. Where the house train was going underground, because of our background in mining, we will come in and enforce the provisions of the Mining Health and Safety Act. However, where the house train was on Saturday, then they will implement the provisions of the OSH Act. And we also completed the inquiries and investigations as planned, and we've achieved about 83% on audits and 91% on inspections. We've developed and reviewed some of our existing guidelines. There's one on the underwater mining, and there's one on emergency preparedness. The emergency preparedness one is very critical for us. Even the incident that we had late last year, where 33 mine employees were trapped in Chile for about 69 days, we believe that this particular guideline will also assist in preparing mines or assist mines in developing and implementing effective systems to prevent this accident from happening. And we also compiled one on draw points, tipping points, and all passes. We have previously had challenges or serious accidents relating to all passes, and we believe that this particular guideline will also assist us in reducing those type of incidents. And we also reviewed and developed internal policies and procedures. Some of the policies that we have and procedures that we have developed during the reporting period is the examination policy, the medical appeal procedure, the inclusion and non-inclusion of fatal accidents in statistics. The last one is very critical in the sense that sometimes you'll have a mine employee collapse underground, and we will investigate to determine what was the cause. If, for instance, the cause of the death was not as a result of a fall of ground or of heat underground, we tend to investigate those. That particular policy assists us in having a common approach across all the region. In terms of human resource development, we constantly train our inspectors to ensure that we improve the quality of the work that we do, and we have a constant approach across all the 9 regions. Under the reporting period, we have 99 officials who completed a course on risk management in mining, 97 officials who completed health and safety training, mainly on legal inspection, audit, investigation, and inquiry issues. Some of the challenges that we believe we face in the industry, as I previously indicated, is the loss of life. We are really concerned with the continued loss of life within the sector, mainly with the recurring accidents. By recurring accidents, I'm talking about, you know, similar accidents where people are killed by fall of ground, the TMM-related accidents and RBE-related accidents, or any machinery-related accident, but that we get reported by the sector. And the fall of ground accidents that the TMM present a significant risk, an obstacle for us to achieve zero harm. And this is some of the issues that we raise to the sector so that we have a huge impact on that. And again, there's a high rate of occupational illnesses and diseases that have been reported, although there's been some improvement, as I indicated. And we are still also having challenges in terms of TB, HIV, AIDS, and its impact on society and the industry as well. And I've spoken about the accuracy of the occupational hygiene measurements that have been sent by the industry to the department. We believe that there is a huge potential of mining growth within the sector, as indicated. However, there are still challenges in terms of the skill base to support that. We are currently working with the NQA to ready to deal with this particular matter. And we also believe that most of the fatalities and cases of ill health that are being reported are really indicative of the culture within our sector and the legacy that we have within the sector. It's not the issue of we don't have technology. It's not the issue that we don't have systems. It's not an issue that we don't really experience. It is a legacy, a poor legacy that we have within the sector, that sometimes people take chances and they result in the loss of life. And by people taking chances, I'm not talking about the mining employees, but across the spectrum, including management as well. And lastly, on that particular slide, we believe that we still have experienced case accidents because some mines don't want to adopt leading practice. And I think it's one of the main challenges that we are actually facing in the sector. Some people have this attitude that yes, because it has not been developed in this mine, I will not apply. So we'll have to investigate this first. We know, for instance, some mines are putting in safety nets. And since they started with the safety nets, there has been a significant drop with the fall of ground accident. Some mines have implemented close proximity devices with their equipment, for instance. Those proximity devices, they put it on the loco or any, it can be an LDB on surface, and also on the cap lamp. So that when a person comes closer to that machine, then there's a beep or the machine cuts off. And we have seen a significant drop in terms of those accidents. However, some mines are not willing ready to adopt leading practice. But I'll touch on some of the issues, some of the approaches that we have adopted to make sure that people adopt leading practice. In terms of the improvement strategies, I've indicated that the industry employs about 500,000 people, and our staff complement is about 300. Because of this, the minister has requested that we restructure our capacity to make sure that we have enough skills to deal with the number of mines that we are dealing with. Most of the fatalities happen in the northwest, as I indicated. So we split the office into two, into the Klerksdorp and the Rustenburg area. We are in the process of appointing a principal inspector as well in the Rustenburg area. We'll be taking a similar approach with the other regions, where we'll be having satellite offices.
For instance, in the Northern Cape, KZN as well. Our main office is in Durban, but we are also looking at probably looking at a satellite office in the Dundee area, because most of the big mines are around that area. The Eastern Cape as well, we're looking at that, we're taking a similar approach. Our regional office is in PE. However, we're looking at having an office in the Umtata area as well. We are also going to establish a regional compliance and investigation unit. Currently, all the inspectors, they do everything. In other words, they do inspections, audits, investigations, inquiries. So our plan moving into the future is that we should have a group of inspectors only focusing on inspections and audits, and we have a group of inspectors only focusing on investigations and inquiries. And we believe that it will also help us in effective coverage of the mine. We have started the process of appointing legal advisors within the big region. That will assist us with our investigations and inquiries. And we believe that it will also enhance recommendations for prosecution where necessary. Because our inspectors, they are having a technical background and a legal background as well. Although we train them on legal issues, but we believe that it will also help to have people with a legal background to assist our inspectors when doing investigations and inquiries. And we have established a chief directorate operational health, and it's currently operational as well. And we believe that it will also help us in pushing our strategies on health and safety. I've indicated previously that there is a significant challenge that we are facing on health-related matters. We have appointed about 19 learner inspectors through our HRV program in our regional offices, and we have issued about 18 buzzards mainly on engineering courses during the reporting period. And last particular slide, the training initiatives that we have, that I've indicated, we are doing them with VET and MQA and ERCA. And in terms of promotion, we firmly believe that we have to continuously engage and cooperate with our other stakeholders, mainly through the Mine Health and Safety Council and the MQA. The council, there's a lot of good research work that has been done there. We believe that together we should push that the industry is aware of that research work, and it will assist us in driving down the incidence. The same thing with the MQA. I've indicated that we have skills challenges. We believe that through the MQA is a vehicle that can really assist us in improving that. This year we are planning a health and safety summit, which will be held probably somewhere in September. And it will give us an opportunity to review the progress that we've made since the last summit that we had in 2008, and whether where can we really improve, or what measures can we adopt moving forward to ensure that there's a significant and sustainable improvement on health and safety. And we also encourage the regional offices to have tripartite forum meetings to share health and safety information. We don't want to be seen as inspectors will come to a mine and stop a mine only where necessary, but we want to be seen as well that we share information on some of the challenges that we face and what mines can do to improve on those. We also engage with the unions as indicated on health and safety matters, and we have started requesting quarterly reports from the mining company board. We've written letters to Anglo Platinum, Anglo Gold Ashanti, Harmony, and also the Goldfield mining board, because they are the main contributors of fatalities, mainly Goldfield and Harmony. And I think since we have done that, we have seen some improvement as well. We have discussions with CEOs on the health and safety concerns as well, and we have also seen some improvement. Incidentally, Harmony today has reported that they've appointed an executive that will only look on health and safety matters. We believe that because of the meetings that we had with the CEO to express concern with the lack of significant improvement on health and safety. And we are also currently reviewing the Mine Health and Safety Regulations to strengthen enforcement and set minimum standards. Our Mine Health and Safety Act is more outcome-based or risk-based. In other words, mines have to do a risk assessment, then consider necessary measures to prevent accidents. It's good that we should have that accident, but it's also that we
realize that the act is very difficult to enforce as inspectors, because we'll have to depend on what the minds tell us and on what we consider as leading practice. But if it's not in the law, then there's a lot of contestation. Hence, we are pushing forward of setting minimum standards, especially with what we call the best practice or leading practice. Those issues that are related to the net and the close proximity device, we are considering to set minimum standards on them within our law in terms of the regulation to make sure that it's clear that there is an expectation from the industry to have those in place. And we believe that it will help us in pushing down the hollow ground and the transport-related accidents. And there's currently a project that has been done through the Mine Health and Safety Council and supported by the department with the Council for Geoscience of putting all the seismic networks together. The mines currently are running their own seismic network, and we as a country, we have our own national seismic network. Normally it monitors earthquakes, but the industry one, they monitor rock beds at the mines. We believe that if we can have one central point where we could gather the information from, there is a possibility that a seismic warning can be issued to the respective mine, for instance. That information can assist us. Let's say mine A, there is a huge seismic activity that is happening. We can say to that mine, we see that there's a huge seismic activity happening in place. Can you consider withdrawing the mine employees from underground? Because it might be an offset and it might lead to a serious accident. And lastly, on that particular slide, we also stop unsafe mines or part of the mines where necessary, as it is the provision of the Mine Health and Safety Act. From the 1st of January until the end of June this year, we issued about 441 notices, mine stoppages, and of those notices, there have been 726 transgressions addressed as well. We believe that this approach has resulted in a significant improvement on the accident that we had. Which we have. If we have not taken this particular, we have not adopted this approach, we believe that we will still have had a high number of fatalities that we experienced. And this particular slide shows the profile of the issues, areas addressed by the 54. Mainly, as indicated in this pie chart, we find that 80% of the instructions had to do with poor support or lack of support. 14% had to do with poor maintenance of rail-bound equipment as well. About 13% had to do with machinery maintenance and guiding at the machinery as well. And also 11% had to do with the electrical-related maintenance. 9% had to do with poor emergency preparedness at the mines, and 6% has to do with the environmental matters, so on and so forth. And if you can match this slide with the profile of the causes of accidents, you can actually see that there is a sort of a perfect match. Those are the major causes of incidents, and if we have not taken this approach, it would have resulted in high number of accidents and probably health. In terms of health, we promote the review and implementation of effective mine health and mine health program to prevent significant exposure to hazards. We are also considering employing the services of either the National Institute of Occupational Health or CSIR to assist us, the inspectors, with the verification of mine sampling results. I indicated earlier on that we are really concerned with the accuracy of the results that we have received from the mine. We believe that by this approach, we can really consider which are the culprit mines and take the necessary steps. And we also collaborate with the Department of Health on issues of sustainable improvement on health-related matters, mainly with diseases and HIV and TB as well. And we are considering a HIV and a HIV-TB summit, which will be held during this financial year. The minister has requested early last year that there should be a study done or a survey done on the status of HIV and TB in the sector. The survey was done by the National Institute of Occupational Health. They presented the report to the minister and the principal of the mining sector. And the further work that has been requested to be done by the principals, and later on, we will consider the outcome of that survey during that particular summit. And last on the slide, the health and safety issues have been included for the first time within the mining charter, and the mines or the companies will be requested to report on an annual basis on their performance on health and safety. And I think most importantly, on issues of housing and living conditions of mining employees. Because we believe that some of the ill health cases, mainly TB, are as a result of living and housing arrangements that we have, where more people are still staying in the hostel. And lastly, Chairperson and the honorable members, these are some of the mine safety achievements that we had previously. Firstly, the NOFML code went for the first time ever for the entire 2010, or for the whole year without the paper. And for us, it's encouraging that some of the mines are starting to have this improvement, and it will encourage other mining groups to follow suit as well. And Modikwa Platinum Mine, which is part of AM, achieved 8 million fatality ratios. In other words, they went for about 5 years without a fatality. And it's one of the deepest platinum mines. Impala Platinum 1 shaft and Impala 7 shaft went for 4 million fatality ratios. Impala Platinum 12 shaft and Rutkhalek Colliery, which is part of Exaro, achieved 2 million fatality ratios. And no matter if mines have these achievements, we write letters to them to congratulate them. We believe that it's very, very important that we encourage good performance as well. And if we do that, then it will also ensure that the other mines, they look up to them as role models, and then we have a significant improvement moving forward. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member.
Thank you very much, Chief Inspector. Honourable members, it is now over to you. For the questions. Would you like to speak first? Honourable Nguni, where you end up? Honourable Nguni, there. Honourable Conclair. Abrams, just see if I haven't missed someone. Okay. In that order, Honorable Nkuni, Sinclair, Van Dingen, and then Honorable Abrams at the back there. Honorable Nguyen, what's your hand up? Oh, second up. Okay. Honorable Nguni.
After 20 years, I don't have the asbestos mine, but still have people not recording asbestosis. As you said, let's say new people coming to the front or are people been working there, or perhaps could there be these people from areas that were perhaps too long to rehabilitate where asbestosis might. I just want to find a chance if the department has looked to those issues. And last chapter is on the issue of seismic activity. You know that the mines, they have their own seismic stations where they observe on a daily basis seismic activity so they can more or less predict that. You know, you cannot predict until a few minutes before a flood or an earthquake. But how are they planning to combine all these networks for more accurate prediction of a fall of clouds? And lastly, when it's going to mine now, pillars and shafts, because that's where actually rocks are highly stressed and most fractured, that we can expect more accidents. If the mine is planning to have some other standards, you know, mining standards put in place, so that when you start mining those pillars and shafts, they minimize the fatalities.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'd like to start with this the annual report, which I once again presume is the basis of our discussions, although we don't always get there. The first issue is there on page 42. I don't know, there's a figure there that is quite exorbitant. Maybe the department can explain what is the reason for that. There in that table 3.2.1.3 under Mpumalanga there's a cold stress that, I mean, first, if you compare it with the rest, the provinces is substantially higher. Maybe we can get some better understanding about what it is and what's the reason for that very strange difference in the figures there. Yeah, then also in the report on page 68, the issue about criminal mining and illegal mining, the department didn't touch on that, but certainly it's one of the issues that's of concern to the committee, and I think we need feedback on what is the status quo at the moment and so on. Yeah, then the third issue is one that is related to this matter, and I don't think we always get to that. My understanding is that health and safety is a very broad concept, and health is not necessarily just to do with the physical health, but also the mental health and the environment of the mine workers and so on. Now, it's quite disturbing. The other day when one of our political analysts indicated that there's still numerous hospitals, specifically in the Gauteng area. Now, although it's not directly linked specifically to this, it must certainly be of great concern to the greater environment. And it seems that the mining companies don't get out of that unacceptable and unfortunate situation, which is very much linked to the mining charter and the social and labor plans whenever the mining houses apply for the mining licenses and so on. So maybe we can get some guidance on that. Then the last issue, Jay, is the fourth one, is it's one that's got to do with my province. The first issue is, in previous discussions, I indicated that I strongly believe that in the Katu area, there must be a satellite office for the Department of Mining and also the specific director. What is the situation there? Because the majority of the mining activities of the Northern Cape is now taking place there. And related to that, the Northern Cape, what was the reason why Alexco
lost its modern safety license. Thank you.
Honorable Farina?
I forgot to switch on, sorry. Honorable Chairperson? This is gorgeous, thank you very much. The report period is 2009-2010. First of all, the department arrived late and we got the documentation finally half an hour into the meeting. So I want to put it very sweetly. Why were we only issued with these documents? Because it is the 2009-2010 period. It's not 2010-2011. So it's not hot off the press. Is this doing justice to the work that we as a committee have to do in reporting? And why is it happening like this? I don't see any finances in the thing, but maybe the financial report is for the later period. Then on a slide without a number, causes of death, 2003-2009, there seems to be quite a downward trend. Is there a reason for, or what are the main reasons for the downward trend? Then under the occupational safety, actual injuries per region, if you look at the Eastern Cape, we ain't got no mining. 0.4% of the labour force is employed in mining. So we ain't got no mining in the Eastern Cape. We didn't have any fatalities, but we had a drop in deaths from 2008 to 2009, from 12 to 8. So maybe because it's so few, I can be told what they died of. Then, on the page of your 2009-2010 achievements and successes, I'm actually very excited to see that you talk about the development of guidelines, underwater mining. I would like an electronic copy of that. Maybe I've missed it. If I have, I apologize for it. We do have an issue with Alice Corp. The department knows, and from when I last spoke to the department and this very same gentleman, we have tried to address the health and safety issues at Alex Corp. My colleague here referred to it. The doctor there appointed is in Springbok. He's 270 kilometers away. The person that's been appointed at the mine is not qualified to have to hold the job. And yet, in Alexander Bay, there's a doctor with the necessary qualifications to serve the entire mine of Alice Corp with the full complement of the requirements of the Act. At the moment, the mining is carrying on, lost the license, if I'm correct, if my colleague is correct, and nothing has changed. So we're really, really concerned about this. Then you say the human resource development, you're training inspectors in health and safety. Are they allocated to your provinces or coming from your provinces where the majority of your mining is? Early on in the slides, you showed us the kinds of sicknesses developing or coming up in each particular in the beginning of your slide lecture. But I don't want to go there. I want to, you say at the, towards the end, you talk about the high rate of occupational illness and diseases. And my colleague, Honorable Nguni, always says that people don't necessarily, they go home, and when they go home in the Eastern Cape, they get sick, and they just can't come back. to what extent are those sicknesses reported to your department, and what records do you have of those people that are too sick to return to mining, and what influence does that have over your figures? I see that you, although you didn't show it in the slide, you say that you have a regional office in Port Elizabeth and you want to open one in Mthatha. What other than quarrying do you address in the Eastern Cape, and is it necessary to open an office in Mthatha? You say that you want to have a mine health and safety summit in September. How far are you with your arrangements? When are you going to hold it? What is your budget? And you say that the last one was held in 2008. So you must be quite far. I'm quite keen to know. And the same story with another summit that you want to hold on AIDS and TB. When, where, at what cost, and how does the message get to the ground? And I think that's all for now, for the time being. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Abrams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I think my colleagues have covered quite a bit. I also want to know, for instance, like the comparison chart, that 2010 to 2011, where 2009, it's just a bit confusing for me as a new person. Some year and there, 2009 report, and then year and there, it missed 2009, what happened to the actual reporting there. The actual facilities also no reporting on 2010, but then you've got in between 2009. And the occupational safety also 2009, 2010, and in certain instances report to 2011. And then on the HR training, you've mentioned that 99% out of total. I'd like to know what out of what total was all these people trained. 99 people found a lot. It could be out of 1,000 people. And then I'd like to know what benefits do you have for people that get injured, do they have medical aid and so on. These people do get injured on a daily basis, and what is there for them and their families if there's any deaths that occur. And also what support structures do you have for people with HIV/AIDS, and then also TB? Could they go on a program? What happens to them afterwards, and so on? But thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Abrams. Chief Inspector, over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Yes, Honourable Member Ngoni, I do agree that we have a high rate of pulmonary TB. And the platinum sector will see some significant increase as a result of previous reports directly to us. But that they were reporting to the Department of Health, but they were not reporting to us because they believe it was not an infectious disease. But we had to clarify to them that, you know, it is, in terms of our prescripts, they have to report to us. And it also helps them. If they report, then they can see whether there's improvement on a yearly basis or terminus. I think this is indicative of the poor legacy that we have on dealing with health matters. Previously, the mines were mainly focused on safety, as I've said, because of, you know, safety is in your face. The person gets injured now, but health-related matters, I mean, they impact people feel 10 years later, for instance, to see the causes as well. It's unfortunate, and also the issue of TB, it's also indicative of people, a significant number of people who stay in our hostels as well. Some people are staying 8 per room or 16 per room previously. I mean, these are the poor legacies that we have. So the current law, in terms of the mining charter, it's time to correct that somewhat. Honourable Sinclair spoke about the social and labour plan as well. some of the things that we are enforcing as well. There are plans. There's currently the reduced mining charter, which we've agreed all of us on as an industry. So there is a required that on an annual basis, the must report an improvement of number of people who are staying in hostels and groups. We expect that probably there'll be more family units rather than to have people staying in one room, as indicated. Goldfields have recently reported that they spent about 600 million rand on moving people into houses. I think it's a positive step as well, which has to be really acknowledged too. In terms of asbestos, I think it takes total of 20 years to acquire asbestos. It takes about really 20 years. After your exposure, it takes about really 20 years. It depends on your susceptibility, but it takes close about 20 years for one to acquire asbestos. So most of the cases that are being reported are of people who used to work in those mines, asbestos mines, that have been closed. Probably might be cases of people who maybe were living in close proximity communities, but mainly, generally, it's the people who are really who used to work in those particular mines, who have been moving from one sector to the other. And the other issue of seismic activity, the planning to combine the national and the mines seismic networks, there's a project that we are doing together with the Mine Health and Safety, with the Council for Geoscience through the Mine Health and Safety Council. It's a research project. So we have requested that the CGS should consider, it's a 3-year project, to put all of them so that they can receive all the information, including the mine. Because you see, our past experience, we had a situation where, for instance, when there's a huge rock burst accident, someone will make allegations that a seismic warning was issued, but the management did not react to it. But we don't have that information live. So we believe that if we do have that information at CGS level, probably CGS can say to us, and we do acknowledge the fact and agree that it does not necessarily mean that we'll be able to, for each and every case, be able to issue a seismic warning. But we believe that if it's centralized, CGS can say, you know, there is a possibility that there will be a seismic event here. Please take action, and we can engage with the respective mine. In terms of mining pillars, especially the shaft pillars and the old remnant pillars, we have seen as well previously that, especially with those mines that are mining, I mean, that are only focusing on those areas, you'll have accidents. I mean, last year, I think we had two shift bosses and one mine overseer killed in a remnant area, you know? And for us, it's like a real concern that people, they tend to react to the rising commodity prices in the wrong way. In other words, it's good that they want to improve their productivity, but we are saying that before you even move into remnant or shaft pillars or deepening your shafts as well, there are necessary measures that we can consider to safeguard the health and safety of our employees. So we engage with them, and sometimes we do issue the directives. For instance, that before one classical example, one miner is going to go to 5 kilometers deep. We said before you go there, we will have a meeting with you. You clearly indicate that you have done a comprehensive risk assessment and you are going to take the necessary measures to do with safety, rock burst, engineering, and all the environmental related issues. Because there are heat hazards that one has to consider to appoint to those there. So we also push that are the relevant methods should be dealt with. And honorable Sinclair, in terms of page 42, Mpumalanga, they reported most of the cases. As I've indicated, we do have a problem with accurate reporting. But I believe that it's probably because of Mpumalanga, it has some of the coldest places in the country, like the Secunda, the Witbank area, the Belfast area, and in those areas, there's mainly open cast or surface mines compared to the gold regions. Gold regions will not normally report high cases of cold stress because, I mean, they struggle with heat stress. So, hence, probably you'll actually see that you might have about 188 cases that have been reported. But I think we are also looking at the issue of, you know, accuracy, as I've indicated, of reporting the samples that have been reported to the department. And in terms of criminal mining, yeah, it's illegal mining. There was that huge accident in 2008 when 86 people were killed in Valcom area. And since that time, our minister took the initiative to establish a forum, a local forum, of which I'm chair, and it's made up of the respective departments, that is HOPS, they are also involved, the SAPS are involved, the prosecutors are also involved, Home Affairs are also involved there. We involve the mines and also we involve the union. We've crafted an action plan that was established in late 2008, and we monitor progress made on all the initiatives by the respective stakeholders. I must indicate that since we have that forum was established, we've seen a significant improvement in terms of the number of arrests. For instance, about 2 weeks ago, there's been 500 people that have been arrested. That's been indicated in the media. Who are dealing with illegal mining. And throughout the year, there has been significant improvement in arrests that have been. But what is very, very important is that there has been an improvement on security and access control arrangements at the mines. What we see now is that it's becoming difficult for the criminal miners to go underground. They are mainly being arrested. The 500 cases that are dedicated mainly on purpose, where they will go to dumps and they, you know, and try and get some gold there. But for us, it's encouraging that more people now, they find it difficult to go underground. Because once they're underground, it's difficult to, you know, to chase them and arrest them. But I think it's better that, you know, they are arrested on surface. And another positive thing is that if they are on surface, they might create more risk for the legitimate employees. So the fewer of them underground, I think the better. And we had a similar forum in the Barberton area, because Barberton at one stage had a significant challenge in terms of illegal mining. So we have seen a significant improvement. In addition, our minister has elevated this problem to the respective ministerial committee that has to do with security and safety. Since that was done, they have established a national forum, which is headed by the HOPS. They have also come up with a program of dealing with the syndicates themselves, because most of the people that have been arrested really are, you know, sort of the foot soldiers, if I can put it like that. So I think there, that level, the drive is ready to look across the world, to follow all these precious metals across the world, where they are going, and take the necessary measures. So that's level. We as the DMR, we are also represented. We are supporting them with the mining expertise, and also on what we are doing at Falcom and Barberton as well. So the respective departments are also represented at a particular level. In terms of health, and I think you were talking about the Honourable Sinclair on the hostel. I've just touched on what are we doing to make sure that the gold sector, especially the gold mines, because that's where we see there's a problem, make sure that, you know, we move away from clustering people into one area. And it only doesn't only affect health, but it also affects safety. Because you'll find that all those 8 people, they are not on the same shift. Some people might be on the morning shift, some on the afternoon, and the other on the night shift. So, you know, there is a disturbance, the pattern of sleeping and this, and there's an issue of fatigue as well. And it might relate, it might lead to accidents. And in terms of the satellite office in Tartu, as I've said, I think it's under consideration by the department where will be the ideal areas where we should have a satellite office. Currently, we have a satellite office in the Karoo area. That's where we, not the Karoo, the Tartu, but Springlock, thank you. Springlock, we do have a satellite office in the Springlock area. And Alexco, whether the license has been revoked, I'm not sure about that. But yes, we did react, Honourable Pamini as well, to your, remember when we had a discussion, I did consult with the principal inspector in Northern Cape. And she indicated to me that they have previously issued instructions to the particular mine. to make in that particular area as well, and then issue the Section 54 to ensure that the compliance are there. So they are monitoring also ANEXCO to make sure that there is the compliance with the provisions of the Mine Health and Safety Act. And then the issue of arriving late today, I think we have to apologize for coming late. However, there are no reports I'm being informed that it has been previously tabled as well to the select committee. Hence, we have been requested to come and do the presentation. But I do apologize for that as well. And the issue of no finances in the report, I think the challenge is this particular report is only for the inspector. And it's a requirement of the Mine Health and Safety Act that we must have an annual report as well. However, we do report as a Department of Mineral Resources, and all our finances are being reported for all the branches are reported together. And I think one of the things that we are probably looking at is that we should, as a department, report as a department. We should not have a situation when we come as well to report as a separate inspector. So there is a move to really to look at amending the legislation accordingly so that we can report all of the things together. And the issue of slide 4, the downward trend on the Eastern Cape, am I correct?
Yeah.
Those are only injuries. It's not fatalities. They have 12 injuries versus 8. Okay. That one, I think, is very indicative of some of the measures that are being taken by the industry and ourselves as a department and also the unions. We believe that, I mean, if we all pull together on health and safety, we can see a downward trend. But again, it's not enough. The point is that we are still having people getting killed, but I think that can really prevent. I think that's where our major concern is. And the point of this slide is to say we have to focus more on health. For me, it's very, very important that we really have to put more focus on health so that we can have fewer people who are getting killed because of the respiratory diseases. And the Eastern Cape one, yes, is really the injuries, 12 in 2008, and I think in 2009. It's mainly injuries. I think maybe the injuries that we experienced, that relate to quarries, because mainly it's quarries in the Western Cape, and works and so forth. You'll find that it's falling from height, that's one. You'll actually find that probably it has to do with conveyor belt or machinery as well, because more quarries and those type of mines, they are more mechanized than the other mines. So, and slipping and falling type of accidents. And normally they're not like serious type of accidents. Hence you'll actually see that they didn't have fatalities. In fact, SMK has not had fatalities for a while now. I think it shows the commitment by the mines there and the work that is being done by the inspectorate there as well. And then the water guidelines, I'll also make sure that it's available for you. I was talking about the issue of the ANEXCO. Yeah, and then the HRC training is for all our inspectors, including those in the region as well, but mainly coming from the region. We train everyone. There is a schedule that we have in place where we send people for training. Okay, and then the reporting of occupational diseases, I would request our honorable doctor, Mukoba, to talk on the cases of people who have been retrenched on what arrangements we have with the other entities.
Okay, thank you. In terms of reporting occupational diseases, currently for employees who are in the mines, they are reported on an annual basis in terms of the annual medical report. This is where we get our information currently. But I must say, because of we had to wait for a whole year for to get information from the mines, there is a regulation that requests the mines to now report on a monthly basis. Now coming to the what we call the ex-miners, those who have exited the mines. There is a law, but it's under another Act, Occupational Disease and Mines in Mines and Works Act, which falls under the Department of Health, which requires that all the people. long latency period. So every 2 years, they can record they are given a free examination. They call it a benefit examination. And should any occupational disease be found, they are then reported to the Medical Bureau of Occupational Diseases, which also falls under the Department of Health. So in terms of the reporting of ECMO, that's how we monitor the people who have already left the mines. And that's how we get the information. We work together with the MPOD. That's how we get the information on the reporting of ECMO. But then you should also bear in mind it's only on occupational lung diseases, not everything. There was a question on benefits for injured employees. Injured employees are also reported. I think we all know that our compensation system is fragmented. We've got two systems in place, one under occupational Department of Health, one under Department of Labor. So in terms of injuries, employees get reported for compensation under the Department of Labor, and the system is called the Act is called the Compensation of Occupational Injuries and Disease Act. That's where they derive their benefits from, and the compensation wise that takes care of that. And some mines are also attached to the Rand Mutual Assurance. That's an in-house organization. It also works together with the compensation in what we call COIDA, Compensation of Occupational Injuries and Disease Act, in terms of compensation. And this has shown that RMA actually seems to be more effective than the COIDA system, although they do the same thing. That's how, in terms of the benefits, the employees are taken care of.
Thank you. And the other issue was the issue of the officer to Mthatha. I think the Eastern Cape is one of the areas we should consider as a high labor sending area for our mines. And most of our employees come from the Mthatha area as well. And throughout the years, we have been receiving complaints and on health-related matters of people who used to work at the mines previously, and they are now in the Mthatha area. And PE is quite a distance from away from Mthatha as well. And I think by us, and it's still under consideration, by sort of establishing an office there, it will really assist to respond to that challenge and also respond to some of the, because our inspectors also travel long distances, and we believe that it is our risk to our own people as well. So if we have a satellite office, it will also help us in dealing with it. And in the issue of the health and safety summit, we are looking at the end of September. We'll communicate the exact date for the main one. And for the HIV and AIDS one, the date will already be set after further work has been done, as requested by our principals on the survey report as well. But we are also looking at probably towards the end of the year as well to deal with that particular summit. And Honourable Abram, in terms of the HIV training, the 99 is the number. It's not the percentage, and as I've indicated, it's for all our inspectors. Currently, our complement is about 200. I think it's about 200. 200. That's the complement, and the strength was about the complement is about 300, and the strength was about 200 and something. But I don't have the figure with me. But I think this is not a one-off training. It's a continuous training. We ensure that all of our inspectors get sent for training, either to VET or through healthcare as well, so that all of them are getting trained. And the issue of the benefits are covered. But I just need some clarity on the comparison and the actual that we are referring to, so that I can respond effectively to it.
Thank you, and also the benefits for the family, death benefits, please. page number, does it just to you? Yes, your report is annual report 2009 to 2010, but then, I don't know what the page number is, comparison of platinum sector, 2010 to 2011. What I'm asking is where's 2009, if you're reporting from 2009 to 10. I don't know the page number, the heading is fatalities, self-for fatalities, all mine. Occupational safety.
This one?
No. The actual graph.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And the death benefits for things.
Okay. No, thank you for that. I think this slide, what we have that we have done with this one is, as I indicated earlier on, the first quarter we had the worst start of in terms of fatalities, and for our from our side, in an attempt to really understand why are we having all of this sudden, because 2010 we've done well in terms of going down. However, we started off badly the first quarter. We really wanted to really understand, but why are we having such a bad start? Yes, previously we. So we've looked at the production and compared it with the fatalities. We can actually go back to 2009 and 10. We believe that if, or to 2008 and 9, we believe that even if you look at that, you'll have a similar profile. Where if you have a if you have an increase in production, then you have an increase in fatality. As this particular slide shows from the 1st of January last year, you can actually see that it's cyclical. Where it's going up in terms of production, it's going up in terms of fatalities. And it goes up to the end of March this year. And this is only for the platinum sector, but the same for the gold sector, because these are the main contributors of the fatalities. So you can actually see that production has a, to a certain extent, an impact on safety if it has not done with appropriate measures put in place. It really has. And I believe that even if you go to 2003, you'll have a similar profile in terms of the fatalities. And in terms of the death benefits, Dr. Nkowa.
Thank you. In terms of the death benefit, each employee who has been injured at work is entitled to death benefits. But in terms of the amount, I wouldn't have the figure with me on the amount. But if actually the benefits are to the dependent of the employee, and it's actually covered in the Quiet Act as well, and also under the RMA. And then in terms of occupational lung diseases, where even ex-miners can be able to come and be examined for compensation, should the employee die, still, you know, even when the employee is or is no longer working, then I think Mr. Mitchell mentioned where the lungs, respiratory lungs or organs, of the ex-employee are taken to the National Institution of Occupational and where a post-mortem is done on them, and should an occupational lung disease be found, then there will be benefits to the beneficiary of the disease. And if that answers the question.
Satisfied with all my emails?
Thank you, Chairperson. direct proportion of productivity and productive.
that when you're on the mine, when I still on the mine, when the mine manager gives a call or the mine captain gives a call, say it happens, they test the shift. What they do, they blast instead of supporting, because it used to support every 3 meters or so. They take 5 meters for the support, and then people in the car go and work on the ground. When there's no support, and when they clear the bottom ground, the ground falls. Now, that's where the people die, because the mine overseer or the mine manager is chasing production, and they overlook the safety cars and the safety rules. That people, instead of supporting every 3 meters, they support every 5 meters. It doesn't matter that it comes back to no other issues. So that's why they've got the direct portion of the fatalities in production. It's just such an old attitude problem towards drug safety, and you might not say want more money, because you blast more square meters of the dead, you get more points. That's why it costs so much.
All right, but on the first point, thanks for that information. On the first point, I hope you didn't want the doctor now to examine you to see. Okay. Honorable Funningen?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am still not happy about the health and safety measures at Alex Corp. And I really think that it must be addressed. The doctor, I think, comes in 4 hours a week, and that's not enough. The doctor must be on site. We must follow the regulations. What is good for, I mean, what is the use of wanting to change the regulations if you do not apply it as a department? I have here with me a health and safety challenge report from Alex Corp dated 16 August 2010, and I can submit it to the meeting. It does not look good. Because there are things that are outstanding, like here's a very good one for 4 years. Established workshops for contractors north and south, 4 years and 4 months outstanding. Urgent grading for mine roads, 1 year and 7 months. It's a long report, but I can, if you will allow me, Mr. Chair, I'll hand it over. But there is no doctor qualified with the necessary skills appointed, and the one that they have appointed is 270 kilometers away, and his contract is different to the other one that tendered, where the one that is in Alexander Bay is 40% of the cost of the one in Springbok. Why is that? They've got the qualifications, they're on site, and they're not far away, and they're cheaper and more cost effective. My report, you and I were talking somewhere in March about this. Because here I have a report and an email from the 31st of March. So it's before then that we had our previous meeting. Now, if you just take it for April, May, June, July, it's 4 months and there's nothing much happening. So as far as the regulations are concerned, I'm really, really dissatisfied with the service and the regulations applied at Alex Corp. Thank you.
Are there any more questions? Nothing?
Up on this particular matter as well, to make sure that the issue of compliance. And the issue of the production, so Honorable Mguni, I do agree, as my side has indicated. However, we, through the Manhattan Safety Council, we are developing what we call the culture framework. We are working together with the other stakeholders to really to deal with such issues, including owners as well. What we are planning to do is to go to each and every mining company and see what is the leading practice in terms of owner structure. Because one of the mines, I won't mention his name now, but they went to the media and said, we are going to increase the owners of our supervisors. But I think we had to call the CEO and say, but this is dangerous. You know that if you say you increase the bonus, then there will be loss of life as well. Now, lastly, in terms of your exit medical, I'll just give the Honorable Doctor to just indicate, you know, in terms of the Odimwa or Okoida, what you can do. She's trying to explain it later. But thank you, Chair. Doctor?
I actually have a problem in terms of why didn't you have an exit medical examination before you left? Was it you left in a hurry? But at any rate, I think it would have been at every exit examination, every employee gets that explanation that you are entitled for a 2-year benefit examination. And you are alluding that you were not aware of that. And it looks like, depending on your exposure when you were in the mines, you know, the amount of time that you spent underground, I wouldn't really say for certain whether you haven't because or not, but you do have to, you still, that benefit period is still open. You can still be able to be examined to check, just to make sure that you have there's any touch of silicosis or nothing. So you're still welcome to be checked.
Okay, Mguni, take up the offer. The doctor says you're so welcome to come for a checkup. Recheck. Just after. Oh, okay. I'm not sure whether the doctor has got all the equipment here to check it.
No, it has to be arranged.
Oh, okay. With that, let me thank the doctor and the chief inspector for the time that you could engage with us as a committee. It's quite very, very serious because of all the fatalities and the deaths that are happening in our minds. And as the responsible parliament, we need to do our oversight also over this. We will be British. I don't know whether we can, but we'll have to find the time to go back to Alex Court also to do some oversight in the Northern Cape and also some of the other mines in the area where we did previously have the oversight over. The chief inspector will keep you abreast on this. And we look forward to your invitations to the committee on the Mining Health and Safety Summit, the TV Summit, or WhatsApp Summit, the HIV/AIDS Summit. Thank you very much for everything, and all the best for you in your endeavors. Honorable Palina?
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Gunda left, and he apologized. He got a crisis at home. So he had to return to his province urgently. I don't know if you got the message, but he did present his apologies here for me to pass on to the committee. Thank you.
Honorable members, as we are moving forward with our program, Chief Inspector and Doctor, you are excused if you want to be. I don't know if you guys are flying back tonight or not, but you are excused. Thank you very much. We just want to request one thing if you exit. Please exit quietly, not like Honorable Mguni that has exited the mine with a big bang and crash. Members, we are now going over to point number 3. As I said, point number 2 on our agenda will have to We'll have to refer that until Mr. KG comes back from KZN. We've got sets of minutes here from March. First we'll have to do the oversight report of the Eastern Cape. Honourable members, as you know, the report has been circulated. We have asked Honourable Van Lingen the last time with the Secretary to just fine-tune the report and bring it back to us so that we can adopt it. Honourable Van Lingen.
Honourable Chairperson, my colleague in crime was Honourable Sinclair. We looked at the report, we tweaked it where there were figures to be sorted out, and we then made our submissions, and that is how I think our secretary has finalized the report. So I propose that we accept it.
It's a proposal for acceptance, seconded by Honorable Gamel. I just want to find out.
Now, if I'm not there, Chair, you are not there also.
Eh?
I'm saying, Chair, if I'm not there, you are also not there.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you very much, members, for the cooperation. The report has been adopted. It's now the minutes. Thank you, Chief Inspector. Thank you, Doctor. All the best. And next time, please bring the equipment for Honorable Nguni. Okay. Okay, the first one is 22nd of March. Honorable members, can I have... This is the briefing by the researcher on that part on the father's boat and others on EDD, Economic Development Department. Can I have a mover on about 22nd of March? On about Nguni move and on about Gamere second. Okay, thank you very much. The next one is the 27th of May. There is briefing by the Department of Energy on the budget vote. That was on Friday the 27th. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please?
I move.
Honorable Bully move. Second by Honorable Sinclair. Thank you very much. Honourable members, next one is the 1st of June. Are we still together? Good. That is the briefing by the Department of EDD, Economic Development, of the budget group at the King's Plan. Can I have a second on the 1st of June? Honourable Gamere, second. Move, propose. I will second. Honourable Funding, second. Thank you very much. Next one is the 14th of June. That is briefing by ESCOM on the electrification program and solar water. That was the one we had the joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Energy on the 14th of June. Can I have Honorable Gamere move, seconded? Honorable Van Lingen, second. Thank you very much. Honourable members, and then we've got our third term program. Honourable members, if you've got that in front of you, somewhere in the third term program, it is for those of you that went to follow the behalf of the Taking Parliament to the people, well done. That has represented this committee and the various provinces. Honorable Nyambe, I believe you were leader of delegation in Mpopo. Well done. Thank you very much. Honorable Maine, you were also in Mpopo.
You
present.
And Abraham.
And Honorable Abraham.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much. You know, I was flat on my back. I not properly you yet. Now I was lying. I was flat on my back. Honorable, I have pneumonia. honorable members, but thank you to the members that Honorable Clare, you were in the Eastern Cape. And then you were thrown off the plane, I believe.
No, I was in Cape Town.
Oh, you were in Cape Town?
Yeah.
All right, but on your way to the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
Honorable Nguni, you were in the Kong Free State. On your way to Clare.
No, I was supposed to go to the Eastern Cape, but it was cancelled because of the weather.
It was cancelled because of the
weather. I went there on Friday, but I'm not.
You were afraid of the snow. Okay. Okay, I'm not going to go. And Honorable Sandigan, you were in the Eastern Cape?
I was in the Eastern Cape when the bridge washed away for the second time.
Okay.
But I like to call Elizabeth, but I think our chief whip her SMS and then she cancelled the trip. The telephone work snowed up.
Yeah, and Honorable Gambele was also caught in the snow. So, couldn't have been. But members, the 2nd of August, that's today, we were supposed to have had a study tour to France and India to look at the nuclear energy program. Also, we would have coupled it with, we would have had a joint study tour with trade and international relations. But we have decided as two chairpersons to rather get more in-depth research in what we, in terms of the nuclear, in terms of renewable energy and research and all that. Energy methods, economic development methods, the economy, and those type of things, as well as the mining, as well as our tourism market, issues related to trade and international relations. So, possibly September, we will come in there, around about that time. We will then schedule our study tour. Yeah, we will have to look at the countries. We will have to find where is our research is. We will have to get the research done on where we want to go. Oliver Fugret.
I'm a bit concerned about this study tour, the one that you proposed. And I would suggest that we have more time to do whatever we want to do. And to that end, I want to suggest that we rather appoint a committee of two or so, two or three members of to assist with the rollout and the possible preparation. Just to manage the process to the effect that you know we get the necessary approvals and also the necessary preparedness to do it in a way that worthwhile and beneficial to the economy.
Okay. Oh. Thank you, Honorable Clare. We'll do that. That will work then with the secretary and the two secretaries and the two researchers.
Chairman, I was hoping that you would take my proposal forward and nominate the subcommittee now. and then we take it forward. So if you allow me to be very careful,
nominate yourself.
No, 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 I've got enough of this.
Who you nominate? Honorable Gamere?
I think the proposal by Honorable Sinclair is good, but this trip is a joint. I think the two chairs and the secretary will need to sit down first, then come up with a proposal to both committees.
Okay. In principle, we accept your proposals, Honorable Sinclair. But let us just meet, maybe still voting this week, and then we'll come back to the committee with the work of the committee as well. If I need to propose the two chairs and the work and the two secretaries will meet, and then we'll come back with a proposal to the committee. Honorable Marine, and then Honorable Sinclair.
No, Chair. Thanks for recognizing that I'm a week, but Chair, because I see this problem here. If that trip does not happen between the end of August and before the provincial week, in terms of the parliamentary problem that we discussed this morning, I don't think it will happen this year. Because there's to be a federalized time and all the problems that come. The whole of September will be very full. Let's see that provincial week that follows to the Eastern Cape, the thing, people's assembly, a number of things, there is a problem. So if it does not happen between the end of August and the 15th, so it means we'll try some other thing.
Okay,
on
to the play.
Chair, I would like to propose the subcommittee consists of yourself, Honorable Gamelli, and the work to give us urgent feedback, because the problem is, you know, it's a week later. And then, as we just heard now from our Honorable work, we might as well abandon the effort. So I formally propose the three people, with the inclusion of Honorable Van Laden.
Honourable members, there's a proposal, but there is also a counter proposal from Honourable Gamelli.
I will propose the very
Your proposal is very?
No, it's very simple. Honourable Gamelli just said that the chairpersons must first meet. I said,
okay.
Propose the two chairpersons, the workers, and Honourable Van
Well, okay, we'll get back to you, Honorable Sinclair.
It's a formal proposal, Chair. I made a formal proposal.
Well, Honorable Gamera also opened a simple two proposal. Are there any seconders for Honorable Sinclair's proposal? Honorable Familian? Honorable, there was a counter proposal by Honorable Gamera. Honorable Nyambi?
I don't know what you're saying, it was a calm, because it was not necessarily a calm. But I thought what was more important after what was said by Honorable Smith. Switch that mic off, Honorable Smith. I'm speaking as you lead. That was the light. I think in view of what has been said by the two Honorable Sinclair and Mahin, that if we are not careful, we might find ourselves not having the trip this year. Please happen that we allow the caucus to pass. So that is why I was of the view that the sooner that committee that is being proposed, the better. As early as before the end of the week, try to come with something, do all the necessary application and try that place. Because once you want to push it for September, I'm aware that it's going to be highly impossible for September. And even next day, it's going to be out because we have got policy conference, we have got some conference, and it's going to be very hectic. And I'm of the view that it's good to have it as early as August. and equipping us for the next 2.5 years to be very effective and efficient.
Okay, that's fine then. Honorable Member, Honorable Chair, your proposal has been accepted then. You happy?
Okay, thank you. At least on the winning side of the proposal. But here to that end, I think that certainly the proposal as it stands there, the tour to France and India, must be a very certain consideration for the subcommittee to come up with specific proposals.
Mm-hmm.
So that is their mandate and the reference.
Mm.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Thanks, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, on the 16th of August, we've got a briefing by the by Medlec on the new growth path. And on the 23rd of August, meeting at Cooper Refinery. At Cooper Refinery, also got an S12A.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Oh, so that's just when you step of a finger.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you
so, yeah, you're going to meet at Cooper, yeah. But Cooper Refinery hasn't got an S12A.
It wasn't that
for 30th of August, the DMR on the mining beneficiation strategy. 6 September, economic development in southern infrastructure, the first objective of the National Growth Path and capacity at local government. 12 to 16 is the NCOP Provincial Week. 20th September is briefing by the DFIs, Development Finance Institution, and update on the Kula pilot project. 26th to 7th October, September is constituency period. Members, acceptance?
I've submitted two requests, which to in terms of the field where and the problem that I've come from are very important, and unfortunately it's never been reflected. I must say that specifically the one.
Something wrong?
What?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. You either use tools that they can't use. Chairperson, now, my proposal regarding the province, there were two issues that was very serious. The one is the issue about my request that we must have a briefing about the shale gas, and specifically regarding the impact that fracking has got on the environment. That was my first proposal. I formally submitted it. I've never received any written feedback about that. And then the second one, which is more important, is the one about the flood damage. I submitted the letter to the chairperson of the council, to this committee, but up till today, it's almost 2 months or 6 weeks, I haven't received any feedback. So I would really request you that in terms of those two urgent proposals that we also accommodate them on the program. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other comments? And will be accommodated on the role of coming in?
Honourable Chairperson, I'm not sure of my facts, and maybe Honourable Maini can help out here. The 16th of August, briefing by the National Economic Development and NECLAG. Now, I thought that in the WIF meeting this morning, they spoke about NCOP oversight 16 to 19 August. Am I wrong?
I don't remember quite where, but there would be a week. I'm not sure about the date. Because when I come to this meeting, I'm not sure my office. You know. There will be a specific week for all of those oversights and all of us, including Stat 12 and whatever. I will brief the chairperson outside.
We can still do that because I haven't received a new program yet. Have we? The program hasn't been adopted. Problem is only being adopted tomorrow morning by programming board. So that's just proposals.
No, but
like I said, we haven't received, and we are grateful for the information. But as you have also said that, you know, so, but I don't think it's a strange mess. Members, we can readjust. We are politicians, we are used to readjusting.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Sinclair's request has gone in, and is there no way in which we can just get the ball rolling in this term on those two? Otherwise, we miss the boat. Flood damages are flood damages, job losses are job losses. Point number one. Point number two, the fracking is of vital importance and it's a very hot subject at the moment.
I know the fracking is vital importance, but the whole fracking debate, I think that the application is still with the minister. And up until such time that the minister has a rule on the application. Do we want information? The chairperson of the portfolio committee and myself, we have talked and have suggested and asked the department and for the department to come and brief both committees or just to educate our members in terms of fracking. So we will get back to you as soon as possible about that. The others, I will have to sit with the secretary and the work, the management committee, and we'll see how we can start that in. And we'll get back to Honourable Sinclair's programming this week in terms of his other request. Honourable Nambi?
Chair, I want to move that. Let's have a tentative approval of the current program at the. And then agree that we've got these important issues and in relation to what might happen tomorrow when the program is going to be adopted, because it's going to assist how to feature them so that we can prioritize them. But now I'm moving that. Let's agree with the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Honourable members, with that and nothing else from Honourable Family, this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.